Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plots like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast app. Apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
And welcome
Hello.
To season three, Julia, of The Curse of Strictly. It's the...
You forgot the name of the podcast, Mark.
I did. Do you know what? I was slightly almost... I almost said, welcome to Strictly Come Dancing. And that would have shown... I would have shown my hand as to how I hoped
exactly.
This would go after one
we
season.
We know what you really want.
You know it. I think it's about time that... You know, men were represented on mainstream British television.
I know, someone think of the men. It's why you're always like dissing Tess, because you see a mark-shaped gap there, and if she just stood to the side, you'd be able to.
Well, I mean, there'd have to be about four of us standing to the side to fit me in. But I just look at television now, Julia, and I think, what has happened to the big, fat, white, horrible middle-class men?
Sucks to be them.
I must admit, I don't think of that and then get sad. I think of that and go, good.
You have to say that. Listen, you're Mark Haynes and I'm Julia Rayside. More to the point, we're here to talk about Strictly Frickin' Come Dancing. Sorry to swear, but I'm so excited it's back.
Do you know what it feels like to me? It feels like this is the sign in the year that summer is dead and the autumn is beginning. And just it starting, I was like, oh, it's like the run-up to Christmas.
It really is.
Immediately sort of like, oh, you get Halloween, you get sort of Guy Fawkes Night. And it just felt like, thank God, the summer is over.
We can just stop mucking about with that, you know, bare legs, tights. I mean, I know you wear tights every day, Mark.
Oh, but,
you know,
absolutely.
All the indecision. I'm going to get my chimney swept. That's not even a euphemism. I'm fully facing towards the chillier months and I'm looking forward to them.
Yeah, it was funny. I mean, the one thing that felt like a little bit of a throwback was seeing all the judges come out and sitting in their pods with their screens between them.
Yes.
And that felt to me like, I sort of felt that was a bit dated in a weird way.
Yeah, like it was in the 70s.
Yeah, I mean, I know the pandemic isn't over. The pandemic really sort of can't be over. And I know that if they didn't have those pods, there would be a million green ink letters coming into the BBC at all hours
for
of the day with people saying, you are not socially distancing the judges. But it did feel a little bit heavy-handed. You don't really see that on television anymore.
I know. It makes me think is those Perspex screens makes me think the judges must spit a lot.
Yeah,
now, if Bruno was there, I'd say that was fair play. But I'm not sure the others look that spitty. I think it probably is overkill.
It was delightful to see Anton Dubek taking the position in Strictly that he should have taken probably 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But it was lovely.
And everything about that introduction was beautiful. The VT they gave him about halfway through the show, just saying it's fine, he's taken his rightful place. It was like a god ascending to the clouds.
It was
great.
It felt like the way it always should have been. What was funny about this show is the judges had to turn up, sit through whatever it was, 90 minutes. And they did absolutely nothing.
Literally nothing
at all. But every time Anton spoke, he was exactly what you would hope, like the 100% Anton Dubek judge would be. He was concise, he was witty, he was sort of penetrating with his insight. And I thought he was just so perfect.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit like having Len back in a way.
Exactly that. And you realise that
in
sort of
way.
Friendly, warm, debonair slightly cheeky older gentleman has been missing from that panel for quite a while.
We're back to you trying to insert white men back into the back into the zeitgeist.
I mean, my
your agenda is clear, Mark.
My dream panel would be Len Goodman, Anton Dubek, James Whale, and Jim Davidson.
With a guest spot from Joe Rogan for the American version, Dancing with the Stars. Yeah.
And all of them smoking cheroots.
But can we talk about the opening? Because there is, again, obviously there's been a little bit of pre-fluttery controversy, not really controversy, just some arses on the internet going, well, I won't be watching if two men are dancing together. But again, another very purposeful opening. It was a complete Studio 54, complete with Bianca Jagger's horse opening. Really high production values, that hair and makeup, like wild, to I Feel Love. I just thought that was a great statement of intent.
Absolutely.
Like, welcome to the gayest show on earth. It was just beautiful.
An absolutely banging song. A song that, you know, sometimes when they do these things, they are a little bit cheesy. So you would have, I don't know, it'd be something by Shakira that I've not really heard of, or it would be Boys, Boys, Boys by Sabrina. And
can you imagine?
I think, you know, it's impossible not to watch that and go, I really, even if you hate ballroom dancing, you're like, it's always nice to hear Donna Summer's I Feel Love just on television. Yeah. The fact that they're doing the Johannes and Mr. Chef, I'll get to
John
you.
John Waite, yeah.
I don't know the names of anyone. We'll get to
Mr. Chef.
But Mr. Chef and Johannes are dancing to New Order's Blue Monday. And I thought about that as well, like in the same way as I Feel Love, where you just go, do you know what? Even if you go, I think it's disgusting that two men are dancing. You'd go, but I do like this song.
I do like Blue Monday. Yeah. Oh, yes, lovely. Lovely. By the nice heterosexual band, New Order.
Yeah. Tess on a horse and just waving her arms like she's necked three pills. I thought was a great sort of opening. I like it when they sort of go, let's not try and say to Tess, do you want to learn a step? You just go up on a horse and just look like you're absolutely off your box. It had a slightly sort of Gotham City opening, like it was quite a low rent DC superhero movie. But then I sort of thought...
Yeah, there was a lot of Batman stuff going on.
Yeah, and I like it when they do the sort of medleys. I like a medley. I do like it when it shifts.
Do you? Sometimes it falls flat, though, doesn't it? Sometimes they choose the wrong songs.
Yeah,
You're kind of waiting for the big kind of, forgive me, jizz moment, and it never quite comes.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think with this, it just about works.
I would have gone from I Feel Love into Remember You're a Womble. into the full version of Kraftwerk's Autobahn.
It
would have been absolutely electric. Shirley looks 14 years younger than last year. I don't know.
She does, doesn't
how
she? She's obviously sleeping really well these days.
She looks sensational.
She did look great.
There is something about how being in television, because you suddenly stop worrying about money for the first time in your life, you just become the very best version of you that you could become when you're on telly.
No matter what it costs. Yeah. We did comment, though, Craig, for this first episode, maybe he's just been away from the spray tan for a while and just got carried away, but he looked like an old treasure map that had been dipped in tea. He was just burnished.
Yeah, wasn't he? So I should probably mention that, you know, I do a bit of TV work every now and then, and I got to do a little bit of filming with Craig Revelhall.
Oh, yes!
He is a just absolutely lovely guy. I was slightly hoping that he'd be horrible so that I could come on here and I believe the children say spill the tea.
We've just discussed where the tea was spilled and it was on Craig's face.
Yeah, but he was super lovely, super, super nice. And just what's really funny about him is he doesn't turn up as, if you like, TV's Craig Revelhallwood. He wears quite sort of blingy tracksuits, like expensive designer tracksuits that, I mean, you know, I hope he doesn't listen to this, that are horrible. I mean, absolutely horrible.
Flammable.
Very. He turned up to the set and then he got changed. You know, there weren't any changing rooms, so he just had to do it in the middle of the room, which, you know, he's a dancer. I'm sure that's sort of second nature.
And used to it, yeah.
He went in, did his bit, came out, but he's everything you want him to be. He's funny and acid, but also knowing and aware of that sort of panto element of what he's doing. And he was just an absolutely smashing guy. He mentioned that he's moved to the countryside.
How lovely.
So I think he's just spending a lot of time outdoors, living a very rugged existence, cutting logs with his feet. by pirouetting on them.
I will recommend again, and I have done previously on this podcast, I forget what it's called, but it's something fabulous. Get his autobiography. It's one of the most entertaining things I've ever read. It begins with him, I think, on the Champs-Élysées in Paris, killing off his drag alter ego. It's one of the most delicious things I've ever read.
Oh,
he's just everything you want him to be.
Motsy as well had turned up wearing a massive discarded Ferrero Rocher wrapper, which was an amazing dress.
She always does. There's always some kind of sculptural element to her outfits, you know. She creates shapes. I love her.
So, Julia, we know who's in the show. We know who they're dancing with. What did you think of this year's disappointing lineup?
I knew you'd say that and you'd be the perfect granddad about it, going, oh, I've never met any one of these before. And the truth is, this is probably, of all of them, the lineup I'm least familiar with because of things like sport and soap operas and, you know, just areas of my interest that don't intersect. But it was good. It was really good to start with Robert Webb, I think, because I think pretty much everyone does know who he is. He's kind of he's straddled the entertainment spectrum from like mainstream sketch show to sort of slightly more niche sitcom and back again. So everyone's aware of him. And yeah, I think him and Diane will be a really good pairing. I didn't sense like an instant comfortable rapport.
No.
But I think they'll be great together. Everyone knows he's a mover. We've seen him do the comic relief thing and he's obviously got a natural rhythm.
And certainly for me, it feels like he's been a strictly contestant in waiting ever since Let's Dance for Comic Relief.
God,
it seems
yes.
like you probably like 7 years have passed. I think, you know, he's now in his 50s. He's had heart problems. I mean, they could have made this call a bit earlier.
Well, no, the thing is, if they'd done it earlier, it might have proved the end of him. I think now he's super healthy and really looks after himself. So now is probably a good time to do it. He might not have passed the medical before, by the sounds of it.
No, that's true. The other sort of big name that I think is the only booking that I'd sort of go that could have been in any year is going to be the actor Greg Wise, who I think is going to be...
Oh, God, yes.
I mean, I'm not going to be... I'm not convinced that he's going to have any moves. He seems to me like quite a posh guy. Actors always seem to lack a bit of natural, spontaneous rhythm, in my experience.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it might be public school. It was, do you know the intro where he said that the only dance move he had was to Dirty Reggae? And I just thought, oh shit, don't say that. Please don't say that.
When he started doing it, it was just, at what point do we applaud to make this stop?
I know.
I felt, you know, people like Greg Wise, who are so charismatic and are charming and are handsome and are talented, they've never had to dance because they've never needed to. They haven't had to do a move like a sort of male peacock in an attempt to appeal to the object of their affection.
I am really worried, Mark, because I've got one word for you, and it's Hiddleston.
Yeah, he is going to Hiddleston his way through this.
Yeah, I'm afraid for him.
That natural, funny, just personality, I think, is going to start to grate when we have to watch him do another terrible 4 minutes and him sort of like, you know, trying to charm his way out of it.
I know.
After those two, though, Julia, this felt to me like a very big, like, petrochemical company that had put on their own Strictly Come Dancing for the staff. And they've basically gone, it's all employees, but as a special guest, we've got our brand ambassador and Olympic-winning swimmer, Chris Petey, also taking part.
Adam Petey.
Is it? Is it Adam Petey?
You don't even know his name. Oh, my God. Dad.
I know every year I do say that, you know, I think this is like the weakest lineup ever. And it becomes
every year, Mark.
It becomes a running thing, but... This year, what it lacked for me was any surprise bookings that you went, great piece of work. You know, the bookers really earned their money there. And I was thinking, it's just, you know, just off the top of your head, you know, even someone like Jackie Weaver, you know, that you would stick in and you'd go, well, she's going to be out in week two. But at least it reflects the year and it's a bit of a novelty booking. You know,
do you think?
I want old 80s pop stars. I want Kim Appleby.
Actually, that would be good. The nostalgia thing would be good. It seems a shame that they're not going down that road. I don't know. We always say, you know, that it's a weak lineup, but then it's never about who they are at the start. It's about who you get to know. This makes careers for lots of people. And obviously, we're not the people who watch soaps. Millions of people know who the soap people are. And
I agree with that. I do think that there's also too much of a focus on people who are working at the BBC.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true.
And that, for me, it should be celebrities. It shouldn't just be these are the guys who we feel are good and can showcase on a different show as well.
There are very limited pools from which they fish, which include BBC Breakfast, CBBC, BBC Sports coverage, and obviously BBC soap operas. You're right, it's a very cross-brand promoting sort of circle jerk in a way.
It is. And, you know, that for me adds to the sense that it is sort of like, you know, not a genuine TV show, but an office production. I mean, we'll get to it but my real feeling on this show was, if you are going to set yourself up and say we are going to have someone from the world of social media for the kids, then you need to get a big name from the world of social media and not someone who is primarily famous because their dad is famous.
Yeah, and obviously then having to get him into the intro VT, so you've got some sort of context there. It's a bit, yeah.
The worst thing about that intro VT as well, for me, is it basically set out the stall, which is going, and, you know, if you were on, of course, you know, your dad would be happy to do something every week, would he?
You know, it's so grim, isn't it?
You know, it's, of course, we're talking here about Violet Beauregard.
Maybe Violet Beauregard will turn out to be a really charismatic and brilliant signing. But so far, I'm getting very, who is that Emma woman who owned a zoo? Like, I'm just getting very,
yes.
She doesn't need this. She's rich, but she's just doing it to pass the time. And I sort of get slightly affronted by their inclusion.
Absolutely.
Because I kind of think I want it to be a hardworking showbiz trooper who's like really using this to their advantage.
And it's funny how they will go for people who are of a high earning social strata.
Oh my God, yes.
But they won't go, well, what about someone who has got an OBE because they've worked with the kids?
Yeah.
You know, it seems, it's such a big platform that if you are going to get people that no one's heard of, why not get people for whom it would be life-changing rather than just another job that makes them a bit of money that they go, well, I can, you know, buy a hat with that.
I know. You just, when you look at Strictly and you look at the, you know, some of the bigger names who do it, you look and think, It's across the board, no one's ever said it's the worst thing I ever did, I shouldn't have done it. Everyone talks about it in such a positive way. There must be something mysterious to do with dancing ability and the basic auditions that go over and above like who they're allowed to ask to do it. Because, you know, you just think there are millions of people. I mean, millions is probably, but thousands of celebrities who would, you know, for their careers and for the exposure, love to do this. And they never end up on the show. So there must be something else at play that we don't understand in the casting.
I agree. I mean, I've been watching recently the Channel 4 show, SAS, Celebrity SAS. Or whatever it's called.
Oh, I hate along those that rides. Show. I hate it.
It's abominable. It's basically a load of quite right wing men just demean and humiliate celebrities who are totally unprepared for what they've got involved in.
Yeah.
And I was watching that, and I was thinking, oddly, the lineups in that were stronger than the lineup on Strictly.
Yeah.
And that isn't the way it should be. This remains, after God knows how many years, the BBC's flagship entertainment show.
Yeah.
And if you can't get big names, if someone like me who reads papers, watches television, is across streaming, you know, is really in that world, if I'm watching this and going, not only do I not know these people's names, I don't think I've ever seen most of them before, then something's going wrong with the booking.
It's a little bit, isn't it? The one thing I will say in favour of, I wasn't sure at first, but I actually preferred it, this series, they did away with those face-to-face and your dancing partner is kind of cringy.
Yeah.
Everyone's face is freezing because they're smiling too hard, trying to look pleased with who they've got. They did away with that and mercifully did it on a VT so that they could cut out the minutes or hours sometimes of like fake grinning when the dancers particularly see a celebrity and just think, well, they don't think I'm going to win then.
No.
it's just too much.
In the little bits where they did the videos where they were meeting, every single one of the dancers or the celebrities had to say the line, this is the person that I wanted the most.
I secretly wanted
them,
which is just horseshit.
Oh, completely. What you've watched Strictly Come Dancing and you've gone, do you know who I'd like? Nikita, a guy who has never danced before and I don't know the identity of. I mean, it's just nonsense.
I mean, I think what they mean is they've met them for rehearsals before they know who their partner is, and seeing them across a room, maybe they thought, but no, not literally all of them can't have got the partner they wanted. And that brings us to Mark, the fun game you could play in episode one, which was spot the anti-vaxxers. Because we know that two of the pros refused to get vaccinated to take part in the show. Frankly, I'm sorry, my politics, I'm not going to hide, I'd have said then you don't take part in the show and we'll find two other dancers who will get vaccinated. But yeah, and apparently some of the celebrities were a bit unhappy about being put with an unvaccinated dance partner.
My point is, of course, is if you don't want the vaccine, that's absolutely fine. But the reality is, you then have to take it on the chin when people say you can't come in here.
Yeah, and exactly.
The reality is, a leading BBC show like that, having made shows for the BBC and Channel 4 in the last 6 months since COVID's happened, there is absolutely zero tolerance of breaching any COVID regulations. They're absolutely mad. So why you would allow two people who are unvaccinated to continue to come to work? It just absolutely boggles
the
mind.
They'll be less likely to get ill, they'll be less likely to pick it up in the first place, and less likely to spread it. There endeth the vaccine message. But my God, so who do you think it is? Like, I've tried to guess, and with absolutely no science at all or any kind of fact-based process at all, I've decided it's Nadia and that new one, Kai. He's got a look about him. Who do you reckon?
I am obsessed with Kai, because I was looking at him and I was thinking, oh, that's good. They've got a really old pro. And this is like the last race that this formerly brilliant thoroughbred has got to do.
Right, okay.
Turned out he was 29.
Oh my God, he's not, is he?
29.
I thought he was in his early 40s.
I mean, he looks like he spent the first 28 years of his life basically working down a mine. And he spent the last 6 months as a dancer, and now he's here.
Wow.
Tough paper round. He looks haggard, man.
We've got, rather than personally insulting the dancers, by the way, I have no idea who the unvaccinated dancers are. We will not speculate any further. And I'm just having a bit of fun. OK, we have to return to the partnership. So Rob and Diane, Rob openly admitted, although he regretted it later, that he wants to win and believes probably that he can do, because, you know, the guy has moves. I would have thought they'd go fairly far. We also know they're doing a cha-cha-cha to Rasputin for the first week dance.
Yeah, and I think, good, give him big, because I think, you know, you could see even in the group dance, one of the things he is going to be picked up on really quickly is gurning and mugging.
Yeah, they put him at the back, which I thought would, if I was Robert Webb, would have really annoyed me.
Yeah.
Because Robert Webb wants to be at the front.
It's a good choice of song, because it's fun.
Yeah.
And he's going to be dressed as a Cossack. And he is going to be hopefully having a huge beard. Hopefully she will too. And they will be strutting around, you know, like they're marching through Gorky Park in 1912.
Defo. It's
going to be a delight. I'm really looking forward to that.
So the next couple is Katie, currently from Hollyoaks. I gather she was also on Coronation Street, but now she's in Hollyoaks. And she was partnered with Gorka.
That's
who's
right.
Who's usually given to someone with potential.
Well, but also, I mean, Gorka is the partner of Gemma Atkinson. So I presume they live
Lovely
in Manchester.
Gemma Atkinson. Yes, yes, yes.
And Katie McGlynn seemed to definitely be in Manchester. She was looking at the old Corrie set.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
So yeah. I think that may have been a marriage of convenience.
Perhaps.
Have you noticed in this one as well, and Katie McGlynn was a good example of this, there don't seem to be any of those 20-year-old fireworks that they have brought out the soaps before. What's her name? Ginger Dynamite. Maisie Adams.
Yes.
And what we've got now is a slight sort of, you know, I don't know, it just feels a little bit... This whole episode, everyone seems to be aged between 34 and 54. And it feels to me like they should be aged between 14 and 23 with one who is in his 70s. But Katie McGlynn,
I think we've already proved we're quite bad at judging ages.
Yes,
if Kai
that's
is the benchmark
true.
For that.
But Katie McGlynn, for me, again, when you saw her in the group dance, she was very much, here we go. Oh, look at old Muggins here.
No, I know, but I think she's going to reveal hidden depths. I mean, she's got stage school written all over her. Also, that the young women, they wear so much makeup now these days, Mark. They all look like they're in their late 30s. They all look like soccer moms.
I cannot judge ages anymore.
Exactly.
So if someone said to me, well, she's been in it for nearly 30 years, I'd go, oh, yeah, that does make sense.
you'd believe them.
Oh, I would.
Anyway, on to Reese and his partner, Nancy. So Reese is from CBBC.
Yeah.
Nancy, I think this is the first year she finally gets a professional partner, which is exciting.
Yes.
Or she is someone's professional partner. The thing I instantly warmed to about him, although apart from the fact that he seems to be able to move very well indeed, is that he said of Nancy in the little post-show interview with Claudia, I imprinted on her like a baby duckling.
Oh.
And I just thought, that's kind of adorable. Also, I like your references.
Yeah.
I'm into you. So I'm quite keen on him.
I like Nancy as well. I mean, she's been a backing dancer, I think, for the last couple of years.
She has.
When she first appeared, they made quite a big deal about the fact that, you know, she really couldn't speak English. She was just speaking Chinese. And so in 2 years' time, to be able to be on one of the biggest shows in Britain, I'm nearly 50, Julia, and I can speak English, and that's it. And the idea of doing anything in 2 years, I couldn't even, like, you know, paint a room in 2 years.
I know, learning anything now, like, who can be bothered?
I know. And so I thought, well, she's obviously driven, she's obviously dedicated, she's obviously worked really hard. And I immediately warmed to her and to him.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that the second you see, and I know we do this every year, we go, who are we going to put our money on? The second you see him, you go, if he can shift in any way, what he's got is the CBBC ethos, which is men tell you what to do and then you do it to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
And it's like being in the army.
And totally.
I think he's going to be one of those guys who is just a sponge because he is so used to just following the orders about what you do.
And that those CBBC presenters, they work them hard. They don't pay them much.
No.
The hours are long and they are just kind of like machines almost on kids' TV. So I think, yeah, his ethic is going to be good. I think he's going to take this very seriously.
Absolutely. We then had Sara Davies from Dragon's Den.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen her before because I guess I tuned out of Dragon's Den some years ago now. She's sort of fulfilling the role of the ever so slightly more like somebody you might know in real life,
yeah,
woman of a not 22-year-old age. But there are no kind of properly older women. Judy Love must be the oldest woman in the lineup this year. I don't think she's that old. So it's quite unusual for Ali Ash to get partnered with someone who I'm not calling it because you can't call it, but I don't think she'll be in it till the final, say, perhaps, unless she suddenly seems to develop dance expertise from nowhere. So it's quite unusual to see him partner with someone because obviously Jeanette has now left the dancing lineup. She's going to be presenting the BBC Two show.
Yep.
It Takes Two. So yeah, it seems surprising that they would put him with someone who isn't probably going to go,
I don't know,
longest distance.
I have a feeling that there's a slight thing of a changing of the guard coming up.
You're not saying Ali Ash is the new Anton, are you?
Well, I'm saying that they're certainly pushing it that way, that they say, no, we'd like to see them, but we don't necessarily want them to get all the way through to the final.
Oh, I see.
So you can see that, like, you know, with Diane and Robert Webb, I don't think anyone at this stage is thinking Robert Webb will go through to the final. And
but
I
then,
think...
Then look at Bill Bailey last year.
Well, that's true. That is true. Yeah, but he had OT, and OT is something else. Something else.
Oh, she so is.
But with Ali Ash going with Sara, and I think even possibly with Gorka going with Katie McGlynn, I think there's a slight sense of going, these are the guys who are evergreen. They don't need a win. You know, they're already over with the crowd. So I think there might be a sense of, we partner the big names with the ones that we think will be middling, and then we can have some more breakout stars. Creating new stars, yes. BBC.
I mean, what a
wonderful thing to do for a change.
I know, exactly. So, so we didn't get much of a sense of whether Sara can dance or not, but she's bags of fun.
Yep.
And I think their rehearsal footage would be really good fun. Then we got this sort of little, quite stylish little section where we met the new dancers. They got a little showcase all to themselves.
Yeah, taking place in a warehouse that I believe formerly manufactured sexual tension. Deserted now, but there was still enough of it in the air, wasn't there?
It's like a post-apocalyptic sexual tension warehouse.
It was how, if dogging was like that, then we'd all go dogging. But it was, they were prowling around in the dirt and, you know, it was like a sort of student production of Chicago filmed inside Battersea Power Station.
It was very much that. I enjoyed it very much. Mm. So we met Kai, who we've established is a lot younger than he looks.
26, it turns out.
Then 26. I didn't hear the full, is it Jovita, the new tiny Polish pocket rocket?
I thought her name was Crystal. But
Jesus, both of our hearing needs testing. And then
she's
Cameron
not called
and
Crystal.
Nikita.
That is like I've just sort of gone, oh, there's the new Polish dancer. I wonder what a stripper's name is.
Crystal.
Terrible.
Jeez, what tea? Defo, don't tell me what you've been watching. Cameron, who is energetic and had a hood up, and Nikita, who has hilariously floppy golden hair.
Yeah, like a sort of Ukrainian emo kid.
Yeah, I immediately knew they were going to partner him with Gordon Ramsay's daughter. And lo and behold, they did.
Mm. He has a slight Draco Malfoy air about him.
Yeah, there's something evil about him, for sure.
He might be a vampire.
Well, let's look forward to finding out if he is. Then, obviously, you have to go for the next couple, which is the standard breakfast television pairing of someone from Breakfast Television and one of the dancers who's a little bit deflated to find out they've got the person from Breakfast Television. So it's Dan from BBC Breakfast.
That's right.
6 foot six tall, Dan Walker. So there's no other dancer he really could have gone with because Nadi, I think, is the tallest female professional. He came across very well. He was sort of a little bit bland, but very nice. He'd started the contestants' WhatsApp group, he said after in the interview afterwards. He seems very nice, obviously worried about his very long limbs making him a bit sort of ungainly in the faster routines. I think we're looking at maybe a couple of weeks, 3 weeks in.
I think he'd been watching Matt Baker. I think he was trying to do Matt Baker's moves as a fellow long man. And I think he's going to struggle, to be honest. He had, for me, the air of a man who plays a lot of amateur league football and thinks he's a real card. And there were just funny things he said. Like he said, I'm a TV presenter or broadcaster.
Nothing funny about that.
you're a TV presenter, mate. You know, broadcaster. Yeah. It's just a bit weird. He also sort of referred to, his dead dreams of football a lot. So at one point, they showed him in a football stadium and he said, I've got to partly live out my dream on this side of the screen. You know, and the idea that being on the BBC as a main sort of presenter is a sort of poor runners-up prize to what you wanted to do and slight weird begrudging nature he has of it. He referred at one point to, I ended up in the wonderful world of TV.
You've done it again, Mark. Every series you find one contestant who I think is just literally the least objectionable person ever and you find something to absolutely detest about them. But thank you for being consistent, at least.
I can pick him out, Jules, honestly. Let me make it clear, I've never met him and this is just nothing but pure sort of blind madness.
But Nadia's face said it all. In their meeting, I think it was in a football stadium, whatever, her face is, she's really bad at hiding her true emotions. Of all the dancers, her showbiz smile is the least convincing. Her face said, well, that's me fucked after 2 weeks then, isn't it?
Completely. And I think, there is slightly a danger in big name presenters going on Strictly and revealing what they're like.
And sometimes that's a bad idea. I think you're wrong about him. I think he's just nice and bland and fine. And you're just picking holes because you find him threatening in some way.
I read something about him many, many years ago and he's quite religious, is Dan Walker.
Oh, okay, you should have put that first. Okay,
not sure
right,
he believes in evolution.
Oh my God.
Presents a news show.
Oh, wow.
I might be wrong about that.
I mean, there are probably lots of people who believe in Jesus and things also being journalists. And that certainly doesn't preclude them. But it puts a different spin on my take on him. You're right. He's evil. He must be stopped. I'm joking, of course. Then we move on to apparently she's already the favourite with the bookies.
Interesting.
Rose from EastEnders, the first ever deaf contestant on Strictly, and her partner Giovanni.
Yeah, good meet up that. I mean, that's a great partner. They're not saying, look, this is a sop to, a very, very jaded way of looking at it. But if you like the Paralympian slot, it's by giving her Giovanni, they are saying, look, we are investing in this 100%. I think that's absolutely right to do so.
Also, you do not give a rank amateur with no promise at all a jive on week one.
No. And I think it's going to be sensational. So she was talking about the very fact that, obviously her deafness precludes her from hearing the music. But what she does talk about is she talks about how she can pick up vibration. She can see how body movement works and react to that. And she will have someone on the side who is signing. I was watching this, and I was thinking, it is mad that we don't get taught 2 years of sign language in school instead of 2 years of German or whatever. Nothing wrong with German, but I do sort of think, wouldn't it be great if everyone just spoke a bit of sign language?
It would be so good, wouldn't it?
Would be. I get a bit emotional about things like sign language, about someone going, there is a problem here for these people and we need to work out how we can surmount it.
Yeah,
and people just sitting there and going, how can we do this? It just makes me sort of go, aren't human beings brilliant?
Totally brilliant.
By the way, have you heard of Niall DeMarco?
No.
So Niall DeMarco, he in 2015 won America's Next Top Model. And he took part in Strictly, the American version, Dancing with the Stars, series 22. Now, Niall DeMarco is entirely deaf. And Niall DeMarco won series 22 of Dancing with the Stars.
Wow. Oh, okay, right. Brilliant.
So they obviously know that, this isn't just a stunt. This isn't just like a sop to saying,
oh,
you know, look how inclusive
no, no,
we
no,
are.
No, no. Yeah.
But, you know, I think she's going to be a real contender. It shocked me, though, Julia, that they mentioned she plays Danny Dyer's daughter in EastEnders. And I was like, well, how come she isn't five? I mean, Danny Dyer is younger than me. And that was a horrible moment of mortality for which I will never, ever forgive her.
No, that's fine. And I think it's fine for you to take against her for that reason alone. Yeah, no, she came across really, really well. She was there kind of, you know, being a representative, you know, well beyond her years, representing the deaf community, but also just seeming like a really nice dude. And I think
completely
their partnership and their sort of chemistry was the most genuine, the least forced, I think, of any of the couples, just on one, you know, one meeting. It was great.
I agree. And it does sort of slightly boggle my mind that, you know, in a way the BBC sort of PR department is so bad that I had no idea that there was a deaf actor on EastEnders. You know, you'd think that sort of thing would have been mentioned at some point on something. God knows, I watch the one show pretty much every week.
You do.
For a different podcast. And they've never gone and let's talk about this, you know, this remarkable actor. Let's talk about the challenges she faces. You know, instead we've got to watch something about recycling. You know,
again.
Makes no sense.
Yes, how you should wash it or shouldn't you? I don't know. I'm confused.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it's Mr. P here.
I'm the other Mr. P.
And we are the hosts of Two Mr. P's in a Podcast.
The educational podcast where you don't actually learn a thing.
No, instead we explore the weird, wonderful and downright hilarious things that happen in school from people actually doing the job. We reminisce on our own time at school, funny things we experience each day. And of course, we share your hilarious stories from the chalk face. So if you work in a school or just want a nostalgic trip down memory lane, sit up straight, fingers on lips, and get ready for the lesson.
Anyway, moving on to our next competitor is Adam Peaty, Olympic gold medalist and self-confessed fastest breaststroker on the planet, which he's clearly trying to make a thing by saying it repeatedly.
Yeah. Maybe 6 years ago that would have been funny. I mean, now it's just, you know, I don't think it's that funny.
Great, we found the next contestant, male contestant that Mark is threatened by. He clearly is incredibly well put together. He's just come back from Tokyo. Mm. He's in peak physical condition. And he's been paired with Katja, which I think is a great pairing.
It is, yeah. She did it by the introduction by strutting down to the swimming pool wearing these absolutely tiny stiletto heels, which I did think I wanted a lifeguard to run over and go, absolutely no way. Not near the pool. You know, this is
are
the next moment to happen. You know, you'll be bombing next. You know, no. I always worry about sportsmen in this because sportsmen tend to be people who have dedicated their lives to their sport. And what they haven't done is spent a lot of time in nightclubs.
Or having any fun.
Or being interested in music. You know, music is a distraction from ploughing ever forward in an unceasing straight line as quickly as you can. He did seem in the group dance like he has some rhythm. And I think that can be a dangerous combination, having a bit of rhythm and then a body which is in peak physical condition and used to doing what you want it to do.
Exactly.
I think he could become quite good. It will just be all whether he's got that natural rhythm.
Well, he demonstrated a quick hip action. Again, he's sort of, you know, there's definitely, he's trying to show his cheeky side with, you know, the breast remark and then a quick hip wiggle, which obviously the audience responded to very well. I've got quite high hopes for him. I think you don't put someone with Katja unless they're going to, you know, improve. And I think he said the stamina will be no problem. I think the loosening up of his limbs, his very disciplined limbs, is a possibility judging by the early signs.
So. Yeah, he's also one of those guys who, because he's, as he says, a triangle, he's one of those guys who just uses his arms instead of his legs to move.
Yeah.
He is going to be lifting Katya in ways that I don't think any contestant has ever lifted any of the dancers before. Ooh,
that's actually making me feel quite excited.
Jump in the pool, cool down.
I think I'm having a little menopause. Next, we move on to AJ Adudu. Adudu?
AJ Adudu.
And her partner Kai. Now, when they did their meet cute, I can't think of a better word for it, her face was a picture. She genuinely just looked at him like, who are you? she had tried to hide it well, but there was just a small micro reaction before where she was like, no idea.
No, I don't have a scuba. she is, I really, really like AJ Adudu. I haven't seen her actually present.
Well, she did the Big Breakfast on, you know, for one day only, they revived the Big Breakfast on Channel 4. And she did that. And it was like so charming and so brilliant. And it was really, it's baffling to see why they don't just do the Big Breakfast again with her, because she's great.
I think there is a part of her where there will be a certain section of people who go, this is the most annoying person I've ever seen on television.
Definitely.
I think she's fantastic. She's everything you want in a presenter, which is just unbridled enthusiasm, just excitement. She looks happy to be wherever she is.
Exactly.
And she goes, do you know what? I've got a minute. I'm going to fill it by making this minute, whatever I'm saying, as entertaining as I possibly can.
And
I really respect that about her. I thought that Kai, when they did the introduction of him, once I got over the fact that he was clearly a grandfather, I really was impressed by the way he moved. He brought professional sizzle to it that was very masculine.
I think the ladies and sections of the gentlemen too are probably going to quite like him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think at this stage, and having seen that little bit they did in the group dance, that AJ and Kai, I would put up there as being potential winners.
Ooh.
I think they'll be in the final three.
Do you think with their very long arms, they'll be holding aloft that trophy?
Well, I mean, you know, he won't be able to, obviously, because he's got brittle bones. He's a pensioner.
And arthritis.
But I thought they will connect in a way. I didn't see anyone else have the natural chemistry that I think the two of them are going to have.
Exciting. Mm. Okay.
And then we had Greg Wise. He came out. He was charming. He was fun. He did a reggae dance that was...
dirty reggae, I still think, was a mistake.
Oh, very much so.
But, you know, hopefully, I mean, I think what happens in the studio, again, just watching a white guy trying to do a reggae manoeuvre, is that because she's such a generous soul, Motse from behind the desk was kind of making encouraging noises and kind of copying his move. And I thought, oh, that was such a kind thing to do.
Wasn't it? I mean,
it diffused it slightly.
It was no less embarrassing than if he'd gone, I used to listen to dirty reggae and this is my impression of it. And he'd have gone into a sort of voice.
No!
It was as bad as that. A Cambridge boy, I presume he went to Cambridge University, Cambridge University boy talking about dirty reggae. And I imagine that when he tells that to people who are similar to him, they all go, oh my God, you know, absolutely hilarious.
This is what I mean about Hiddleston. I just think he's delightfully out of touch. He's referring to himself as, you know, 55 and over the hill and stuff. But, you know, I think it's just covering for a lot of the fact that he's just very posh and very out of touch. And when he said, when they met outside the house where he'd filmed Sense and Sensibility, and he said, this is my house, my kid and I were watching it, just went, oh, that's probably his house. Yeah, I believed it completely. You live there with Dame Emma Thompson, because of course you do.
Yeah. He's dancing with Karen.
Karen.
I've gone for Karen because when we talk about who didn't have an inoculation, I'm sure it's going to be her.
Oh, no, don't say that. No, I don't believe that for a second. No, I would never believe that of her. But yeah, I think actually as a pairing, they're very, very attractive together. I really like the way they look together.
They are. I have a feeling that they aren't particularly bothered about Karen winning Strictly anymore. She's a big enough name.
And yeah, I think probably.
You know, she's gone with that. She's been given what looks like the sort of A-list guest, so she can't be angry. But she knows in her heart of hearts there's no big plan for her to go through, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he'll be a little bit of an awkward posh boy. Maybe, you know, my instant sort of preconceptions are that, he'll probably be able to look all right in a ballroom hold, because he seems to have been born in one. But anything else where he's asked to go way out of his comfort zone, we're probably going to start to see his weaknesses quite early. But he does make jam for everyone, which did, I have to say, even though I'm a sucker, it appealed to me.
Yeah, and I like the fact that he went, it was poisoned. And that was, yes, that was, that was a double bite of the, you know, I'm a nice guy and then here's a funny gag.
He does seem funny. I really hope. I mean, he's married to Emma Thompson. She wouldn't be married to a big humorless dolt.
But, no, completely. Yeah. And I, if I could put a bet on about anything that's going to happen in this show, the bet that I would put on is at some point when he goes out or gets a terrible mark, he's going to bow. I think he's the only contestant on this series who will do a bow at some point.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Then we had Judy Love. And she was paired off with Graziano, who's never really had a good shake of the frog.
Not really. No, he's always a bit mid table. I couldn't even tell you who he's been partnered with before. He has an odd sort of face that looks like it's been drawn with a biro. It's just such an odd. I mean, this is awful. But there's something really strange about his face. Yeah. Look at his face. It's just not. He's just got a face. It's normal. But there's something weirdly cartoonish about it. I can't quite put my finger on.
He has a look of, they would say, this was Europe's most handsome man in 1993.
Maybe.
It's a sort of slightly oddly dated look for a young man on television now. Perhaps. Judy Love, I mean, I think for me, you know, this was as good a TV performance as she's done in the whole of her career. She was so funny and at home and larger than life and everything. I thought she was really, really good.
She's giving them exactly what they've booked her for and will... no doubt make a lot of the episodes, you know, go with a real swing, because the force of her personality is just, you know, that's why she's there.
Yeah.
She's kind of going to be the outboard motor, I think, to a lot of it. I don't think she'll win. And I don't know, without this country's record for voting out black women in the first week of reality shows, it could be another one of those disasters. I don't know. But we are big racists, it turns out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I hope that doesn't get borne out for her. But I don't know. I'm not expecting huge things in terms of mind-blowing dance routines. But who knows? Maybe she's a crazy good mover.
Certainly, you know, her and Robert Webb, I think, are the two people who you keep an eye on to produce the single dance that is the most memorable of
this
series.
Actually, yes, you're probably not wrong. Yeah.
And then we had John Waite, who is paired up with Johannes.
My God. Like, okay, if we're being shallow, best looking couple. My God. Just the angles and the height and the limbs and they look like a couple of sculptures dancing together.
I had actually not really been reading the Strictly News. So this came as a total shock to me.
Oh, lovely.
And I say shocked, like I was horrified. Absolutely wasn't.
Well, hang on. Who else did you think they'd put in a giant cake?
Well, I'd said to my wife, I'd said when it was there, I was saying, look, you know, I don't know if that chef is gay, I said. But, you know, they made such a big deal about Nicola Adams dancing in a same-sex partnership. I was like, you know, it just seems funny that, you know, you wouldn't do that with a contestant this year.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Johannes came out and I was like, oh, brilliant. Great. Totally and not having amazing. Any of the hype about it, it just made it feel absolutely 100% like the most normal thing, which is exactly how it should have been presented.
Exactly. And I think there was some fuss when I think Tess said it's the first all-male couple. The reaction in the studio was big and it was really excited and supportive and lovely. And I mean, obviously, the two of them seem to be delightful people anyway.
Yeah.
But I think, they're just going to, if they just do this every year, it will be normal. And then eventually, you know, even the noisy little mosquitoes on Twitter will just stop commenting about it because it's not important. We're not watching them have sex. We're definitely just watching them dance. So I think that's probably fine. If two men dancing together makes you think of penises and bottoms, am I allowed to say that on this podcast? Then why don't you feel that way about a man and a woman dancing together? It doesn't make you think about what they do in bed.
Oh, so I'm sure it does make these people think that, because they think about, if they basically see a tanker going into a port, they're in a frothing at the mouth. Julia, do me a favour. Who is the celebrity John Waite?
So he won Bake Off.
Right.
And then has since, I think, made a bit of a career out of, well, it's really funny. So he was this very handsome, kind of quite unassuming, young brown-haired man who in a cardigan who everyone fell in love with on Bake Off, and this is literally the first time I've seen him since Bake Off, because I guess I haven't seen the shows he's been presenting on, and he is now at least a foot taller, so ripped it's frightening, bleached hair and just really confident, and has clearly just found his true self. But he did a very good book, I think it was him, a really good cookbook where it's just everything's five ingredients, And I bought that, and it's really, really good recipes. I must recommend.
Oh, yeah. Good. So well, I warned him before. I was really angry he was on. And then when it turned out he was dancing in a same-sex thing, I was like, oh, I'm really pleased about that.
And not just any, because, again, this feels like slightly blowing their big numbers too early. Mm. But he is beginning this series with a tango to Blue Monday, which is tango, number one, like big, bold, exciting thing that you tend to do when you've got a bit more control of your muscles and you're aware of your, you know, your body and dancing and stuff. But then Blue Monday, which is just like a guaranteed banger.
Oh, absolutely. But remember last year, they took too long to actually do anything where the same-sex couple were touching.
We're doing a proper ballroom dance.
Yeah. I mean, you really made me laugh, but you're all like, you know, it's very important. It all looks like the Keystone Cops, and you know, and, you know, everyone is 12 meters apart at all times. And I think, you know, it's quite nice to just sort of go, well, let's get this done. Let's get this out of the way.
Let's go with passion.
Let's address this. If you hate this, then this is what you're going to hate the most. Good.
I can't, again, maybe I'm just reading that into it because I kind of want that defiance from the production team this year. But the opening of the show, the kind of the big, gay, fabulous Studio 54 opening. And then this very, like you said, they're going straight for a couple's dance. There's no way of doing this with their fingers tucked into their belt buckles and like sort of like doing a fake hoedown. It's going to be a proper dance, and really, if you don't like this, you can just go.
Yeah, completely.
I love that.
I would love them to invite 60 incredibly out young gay men to just run onto the stage afterwards and just all start hugging. I think it's fantastic. And anyone who complains to the BBC, they immediately just flash mob their house. Anne-Marie did a little song. She came out. Anne-Marie, for me, was a perfect example of the sort of person who you would have hoped would have been on Strictly this year.
Yes. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And she was great. And she was, it was really nice. There were lots of moments during her song where she was just looking at the dancers and giggling and going, oh my God, Strictly dancers are dancing to my song. This is great. And had the right energy.
So much personality and so much warmth. And, you know, it was annoying here. Hearing the American twang in her voice, I wanted to hear unadulterated Anne-Marie.
You get more dad every year. I love it.
It did make me think, bring back Top of the Pops, because I watched that and I was thinking Strictly is the only place where I hear like people who I've seen on television do their music.
Well, this is why we were talking about you know, Buzzcocks coming back the other day, me and my husband, and just said, you know, we're surprised as a format that it's been brought back, because it relied on other music TV being on around it, so that when the guests sat down and they were musical guests, you'd know who the hell they were. And now it's like, who are they going to get on, because I don't know who anyone is anymore. But then maybe that's just me being ancient and old.
Well, it is slightly, but I want an hour of just, here's Anne-Marie. You know, here's, I don't know any other modern pop stars, Julia. Here's the Squirrels, you know. Here's
Nick Kershaw.
Yeah, here's Fuzzy Terry. You know, I just want to see more pop music. And, you know, I think Strictly Come Dancing is basically the equivalent of what Top of the Pops was, except you get one song.
I know. You only get one shot unless you're a big star and then you get to do a medley. Yeah. Two much more distracting dancers dance around in front of you. So then we had a very brief and lovely visit from Bill and Oti, who reprised their Sugar Hill Gang routine, which is lovely to see.
Always happy to see that.
Just delightful, and brought back lovely memories of last winter.
Mm.
And then we're on to the next couple. So it's Nina Wadia.
Yep.
And she was paired with Neil, who at first I didn't recognise.
I didn't recognise him at all. Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
He was wearing a cap. And you suddenly realise that your brain only takes him in and goes, ginger hair, oh, it's Neil.
Right.
And without the hair, you were like, I don't know what this is.
He's done a Samson. Like, is that the source of his powers? Don't know. Might be.
Yeah. But there was a lovely bit where he met her on a boat and they were sitting on the back of the boat. And even though they were so sort of low down in the seats and, you know, probably a good 2 metres away from the top of the boat, they had these tiny, stringy little life jackets, which the BBC had obviously forced them to
put on.
On a canal.
I mean,
but
health and safety gone mad, isn't it? But they're dancing a samba, which again for me feels like difficulty level 10 on week one. That's a really hard one, and she did look terrified when she heard that.
She looked really afraid
and wanted to go.
It made me realise as well. I mean, she said, "Well, you know, obviously she's been acting in EastEnders, but she said, you know, I'm probably best known for Goodness Gracious Me."
Yeah,
I did sort of think, you know, that's a show that was on 25 years ago.
So long ago.
And again, you just sort of go, you know, couldn't you have reached out to one of the Derry girls? just something that would have seemed...
No, they're busy being
famous. Well, that's it, isn't it,
Hollywood,
I suppose. People who are still busy and on television, they don't have time to give up 4 months to be on Strictly Come Dancing.
Exactly. They've got their careers to keep going. I think that's what we haven't really examined, that Strictly is, it comes at a specific time in a career. For lots of people, unfortunately, they don't get to be on it for long enough for it to make any real impact. But for other people, it changes the direction of their career. Mm. And if they were, you know, just straddling that thing between an athlete who's trying to make it in sports presenting, you know, Alex Jones is now bossing like TV coverage of nearly all sports. Like is it Alex Jones? No, Alex Scott. Sorry,
Alex, get Scott, right. Alex. Yeah.
That's not the one show lady, it's the other one. But no, for someone like her, it hinged her career in a spectacular way.
And yeah,
it does specific things for specific people. It doesn't necessarily ever land in someone's career when they're already flying high and then just sort of, I don't know. Like Bill Bailey, for example, is not suddenly, he was already playing massive stadiums and traveling the world and doing loads of documentaries. And he's been doing a cabaret residency for the last few months. I don't think it's really made him any more famous or successful. He already was, you know.
No, and you're probably famous with people who then don't invest in you in any way.
Exactly.
It's people who aren't going to come out and see you, who don't really want to see stand-up, but they go, yeah. Oh, he's famous.
Yeah, yeah.
The next answer was Tom Fletcher,
yes.
Who described himself first as author, which I thought was a bit disingenuous.
I mean, really. And then I think, and obviously Robert Webb, same thing. They were like sort of writer and actor, comedian and author. But yes, it's that we're calling them slashies now, aren't we? Where they've got more than one job.
Yeah.
But the kind of determination to put the writer first. Like everyone knows you're in Bloody McFly. Like, don't be ridiculous.
Absolutely.
That also seems to be another fishing pool from which the casting people regularly,
isn't it?
Regularly pluck another contestant.
I mean, McFly always felt for me a little bit like the CBBC of pop music.
Yes,
that they were
exactly that.
Hard-working young men,
yeah.
Who are very scrub up very well, very polite, very dignified, that
lovely.
Sort of thing. Amy is going to be his partner. She was delighted to meet McFly.
Big McFly fan.
She said she came in and they sang a bit for her and she said, oh, that was the best day of my life.
she was so happy.
Yeah, I really wanted her to say, because earlier I found £5.
yes, that's much more believable. But no, but it was very, very sweet and she was clearly very excited to be partner with Tom. But the insanity, again, the little Claudia interviews after you see their meeting sort of VT, they said that not only is Tom on tour now with McFly,
yep.
Just for the whole of the run of Strictly, Amy is also on tour herself with another show. And so they're going to be in different parts of the country and doing Strictly whenever they can train, and then every weekend. How the hell? I mean, I know they're young, but how on earth are they going to manage that?
They aren't. They're going to be dead in the water.
Completely
they are going to be
mad.
Dead in the water.
They won't have time to rehearse, surely.
No, completely. And I think there's going to be that thing after every dance where they have to go, well, you know, the difficult thing is we've been touring. We're going to be at the Cardiff O2
next
week.
I'm going to get tired of that very quickly.
Very, very much so. And I think, you know, the problem with Strictly is it relies on you saying this is the most important thing and we work really, really hard. And I've always wanted to do it. You can't sort of go, yes, I've fitted it in around my schedule, because the whole carapace just collapses then.
Because, it's really nice. All the old Strictly contestants have been on social media this week saying, oh, if I've got any advice for you, it's this. And they all say the same thing. It's like, basically, give yourself to this utterly.
Yeah.
Don't do anything else. It's like, don't try and do your degree and have a part-time job. You'll never manage it.
Yeah.
But it's like, realistically, you do have to. That's why it really annoys me. If we go on to the next couple, it really annoys me that someone with an independent income who lives in her dad's mansion is probably going to have quite a lot of time to rehearse with Nikita. So Tilly is Gordon Ramsay's daughter. And my child did inform me that they follow Tilly on TikTok. So she's obviously...
Yeah, well, she's got nearly a million Instagram followers.
Yeah.
It's not someone who is absolutely not there. But if you're going to go for an influencer, there are much, much bigger influencers.
I know.
And that's slightly the issue with this, that what it looks like, of course, is it looks like nepotism. When you look at her career, she works on CBBC where she does a show which is about cooking. Everything that I've read makes an awful lot of hay with the fact that her father is Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
Now, it's very difficult, I think, for children of big celebrities like that to necessarily forge their way in entertainment without that continually coming up.
Yeah.
But you don't help yourself by going on Strictly Come Dancing when... I mean, anyone else could have done this.
They obviously, again, they must know what they're doing. This is, I suppose, a Joe Sugg was the first of influencer person they seemed to cast. And then there was Harvey last year, who I know he came through kind of social media and got famous that way. And I don't know. And obviously, it's going to keep happening. But yeah, I agree. There are lots of them who didn't come via... the conduit of their rich, angry, shouty father.
Yeah, entirely. And the very fact that every time they refer to the TikTok, they're like, you're dancing with your dad.
Yeah, you know, that's lame.
There is something sort of, you know, that I find it impossible to get behind that person.
Me too.
I've got to make that clear.
But maybe she'll be amazing. She's dancing the waltz with Nikita anyway next week, so we'll wait and see whether that pans out.
In the group dance, she looked abominable. God. So I mean, this may
at
be...
At least Joe Sugg was good.
Yeah, and this may be a one and done. Who knows?
Yeah, perhaps. We shall see.
We will see.
Totally wrong.
The next name, I think it's Hugo Monnier.
It's Ugo.
Ugo.
Ugo without the H, and he is. I'm going to have to refer to him as Question of Sport, because once something sticks in my head, it just does. But I think he is a rugbyician.
Yeah, he had a big rugby career. You're absolutely
question
right.
Question of Sport.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and a commentator and everything. He has the lovely, relaxing tones of a Dudley stroke Wolverhampton accent that sits under there, which I...
You're right, or yeah?
Unironically, it's such a lovely, you know, are you all right?
I'm allowed to do that because my mum's from the Black Country.
Yes. I love that accent. He was funny, he was... sweet, he was everything you want it to be.
And obviously he's been paired with Oti, the last professional left. So as they pointed out, two-time champion. I'm pretty sure, without even really seeing Ugo dance, they don't really want her to win again.
Of
they
course
want it to
not.
Be more of a surprise this year.
Of course
it could
not.
Be
they,
anybody's game this
they
year.
They didn't want her to win last year, which is why
no,
they gave
they
her Bill Bailey.
Did they?
No, and that backfired. But they will not have made the same mistake twice. We know things like rugby players, they are up for anything. They go, I'll give it my best shot. Yeah. I'm not going to take it too, you know,
he's
myself
a bit of a
too
unit.
Seriously.
He might struggle to shift it around the floor.
I think there's every chance he could be appalling. But
and she was,
he
I love the way she
delightful.
Was hinting, yeah, he's so delightful. He's a real talker. She was then slightly surprisingly, because, you know, she's a lovely chatterbox as well, but she was making it quite clear that she doesn't need him to stop talking.
Yes.
And that lovely thing where he said, oh, she looked to her watch and said, right, it's 11 o'clock now. We'll talk again at 12.
Yes.
I thought that was rather elegant.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, again, you know, all the people seem very, very nice. It seems unfair to go, you know, this terrible lineup. But I think from a corporate point of view, what it lacks is the surprises and excitement that, you know, it makes it feel like Christmas.
I take your point. But you know what? Episode one, it's almost pointless us doing this until about 2 weeks in. Because once they start dancing and once you start seeing their kind of sweaty, unguarded sort of real personalities coming through in the training sort of footage, everything changes. Your favourites change. Who you're getting behind changes. So I am happy to sit back. I did get that feeling during the group dance at the end there of just sheer gratitude to have them back, to be at this stage of the year, to know that they're going to be with us till Christmas, and just overwhelming gratitude. That was my main emotion
completely.
From the end of the show.
I mean, who knows what's been? Who knows what's been on BBC One on Saturday nights over the summer?
I have no idea. I don't. Not a clue.
There could have just been a static shot of a cat cleaning its bum. I'd have no idea. If you were going to pick totally blind without having seen anything other than the 10 seconds of them dancing in the group, who are you going to say is going to make the final?
I think, early signs of Rose and Gio are really good. I don't know about her moving and stuff, but just a little bit of the group dance and the way that she's going to feel the music. I don't know. Something tells me she's going to be good. Also, the bookies are saying they must know something I don't know.
Right.
I think Robert Webb will be fantastic.
Yeah.
Because we know the guy moves like a crazy person. Whether he can discipline that into, you know, some of the harder dances, I don't know. But his natural dance is going to be really entertaining to watch. I don't know. A winner, it's really hard to say, isn't it? I think AJ looks like she's going to be good as well. So if her and Kai hit it off on the dance floor, that's going to be really fun.
I'd certainly put her in my, if I was going for the final right now, I'd say it would be AJ Adudu, Rhys Stevenson from CBBC. And I'd probably go for Tom Fletcher. I think he has a very big fan base, which, you know, completely mystifies me. Not because he's bad. It's just I don't.
He
you
just
know,
seems so nice.
He does. And there's so many other bands that you could be into.
I know.
He's very popular. But I mean, the horror about that as a final makes me think that, well, based on what the great British public are like, then Tom Fletcher would win it hands down.
Actually, no, you've completely overlooked John and Johannes, which I think at Team Jojo, they're already calling themselves Team Jojo. I can't believe if those personalities that we saw last night are anything to go by, that they won't make the final, because I don't know, unless John is somehow hiding the fact that he's the world's worst, most wooden dancer, they're going to charm their way through this, surely.
I mean, I worry about the people who vote on Strictly Come Dancing. Even if they go, that was a good dance, I think there'd be something about them saying, but I've never voted for homosexuals to win a talent show and I never will now.
But I think that's the point, though. If you make them, if they're clever, they will do this. If you allow any kind of information onto the screen or any of the coverage that suggests they're battling against prejudice, they'll get the highest marks every week. Yeah, they're the underdogs. Come on, we're British.
It would be nice. It would be nice to have like that. At the end of the last few years,
yeah.
That we go, finally, someone other than a beautiful white male stroke female has yeah. won a leading British reality show.
It would be cool, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yes, please.
And then we stick them straight on Celebrity SAS.
And pull them to shreds
yeah,
and
drive
ruin
them
their
into
mental
the
health.
Floor.
Yeah.
That is our first preview of the first show of Strictly Come Dancing 2021. Julia, is it going to be a brilliant series?
I literally have no doubt it will be. I think there's a really interesting mixed bag in there. Some excellent personalities who I hope stay in longer than a couple of weeks. And just, I think there's a lot of unmined talent out in that lineup. I think they must be there for a reason because we yeah. haven't heard of them. So I'm really looking forward to finding out all about what they're like.
Yeah, and you don't have to just like listen to this podcast to find out what you think about Strictly.
Oh no,
you're going to be committing it to damn print.
I am. So I'm going to be the iPapers Strictly columnist for the length of the run. So that starts next week. So I shall be having insights all over the bleeding shop.
Oh, great! Are you going to get to interview them? Go demand you get to interview them. Demand you get to interview them.
I only want to interview Greg Wise and Team JoJo. The rest I'm not that asked about. I mean, they're fine. Yeah.
Get me an interview with Karen.
Absolutely not. For Karen's sake only.
Karen, my first question is, do you love me?
Could you love me?
Could you love me? How much money would it take for you to pretend you loved me?
Oh, good. Everything's back to normal. Oh, nature
yeah.
has healed.
Oh, yeah. I'm the true virus. Right. So, look, until Strictly kicks off, we'll leave you with that. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll look, we're just going to be back, Jills.
Isn't it great?
Couldn't be better. Respect is due. So until next time, keep listening, downloading, reviewing, telling your friends, etc. Karen, if you listen to this, please, 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 please love me.
Run!
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hi. I'm Scott Hancock, and I host From Queer to Eternity, a new podcast exploring what it means to be queer, where we have conversations like this.
I look at younger generations and go, you can just Google this stuff.
The fact that the only mention of queerness was don't get AIDS.
If I'd been marrying a girl, that would not have happened.
Maybe we can find a universality that we weren't aware of before.
That's why this podcast is so great, because actually, well, I guess we just don't think to speak of this stuff, and yet it's part of our fabric.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
From Queer to Eternity, available to listen to now from the Great Big Owl Company.